I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Captain's Log, week 17. We've started to eat our toes. It's so bad. It was the winds. The winds, you see. The winds came. And the storm. Oh, the storm of a century it was. Michael Fish. He didn't save me. And then, the storm.
We've been here for literally about...
years!
Between 19 and 20 minutes.
I know. Who is that? Who is that face?
You know, the storm isn't scheduled.
Do you remember the days before wind?
The storm...
The steel times.
No, mate, the storm...
Yes.
The storm is tonight.
Captain's Log.
I mean, it's fine. Like, the wind...
No! It's awful!
I've opened the windows. Like, there's a gentle breeze.
Gentle... ripping off the faces of children!
I mean, it's...
Breeze!
Yeah, they've said it's going to be quite bad, but...
Bad! Bad!
Like, no, we're...
I'll tell you bad when you look into the burning eye sockets of a windless mother.
This is a shambles.
It's pretty bad.
Pod shambles.
Nice.
And welcome to Pod Shambles.
Oh. Pop yourself down.
Oh,
get a beanbag.
Sit on the beanbag.
Sit on a chair. Under your bum.
Oh, lovely.
And then proceed to sit on the beanbag. Warm your bum.
And fill
on
your...
On the tiny beans.
Fill your tiny ears with tiny sounds.
Tiny cars.
The tiny sounds...
From a pod.
Of tiny pods.
You could call the tiny sounds... Pod.
Podcasts.
Hi, mate.
Hello.
Right.
It's time for the 17th installment.
Oh, God, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we ever going to... I mean, this might never see the outside world, though, because we're hemmed in by a...
We are
vicious,
hemmed in.
Vicious breeze.
So for our listeners overseas, which is none of you, we are, like, tonight
just
is...
You just lost the biggest demographic we have in Congo,
man.
Oh,
God, man. Tonight is forecast to be the biggest storm in the history of the last 16 years of Britain.
It's pretty monumental.
Like, basically, it suddenly got forecast the other day that tonight was going to be like a hurricane.
Like, oh. Like the scorpions are in town.
Ooh.
And rocking us.
With a hurricane. Oh, better watch out for the winds of change.
Maybe the wind will get upset and cry Mary.
Oh, you changed bands at the end, but that's fine. So tonight's set to be like you know, what are we going to... Basically, we're hemmed
up. We're
all
going to die.
Yeah, like we...
Probably.
We've locked ourselves in the house.
Yeah.
We're not going out.
No, I bought lots of tins.
You bought a lot of tins.
Of paint.
Look at my supplies. I got a San Pellegrino.
That'll last about a minute.
I went posh because, you know...
You've got no self-control.
It's an Aranciata Rossa. That's blood orange. Sanguinello, if you will. From the Latin.
I won't, thank
from
you.
From the Latin.
I won't.
Okay, fine. I also bought a strawberry and banana innocent smoothie for my fruit.
Oh, and it does have a woolly hat on it.
The big knit.
So it will keep very warm when the weather additions
And tonight. You know what it says? Little hats,
big
difference. What's...
If only.
You know, and you know, I'm going to get all of my... I've got
riboflavin.
I'm going to get my riboflavin. I'm going to get my fibre. It's going to be great.
Anyway, Zeta fructose.
I've got some Scotch tape for if we need to tape up the windows.
If my arms fall off.
Yeah, well, I was going to buy planks for the windows, but they're... Do you know how expensive wood is?
You did try to buy, like, craftsman's mahogany, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
You could have just got any old wood, but, you know, you wanted the posh shit.
No, I went for
so
it.
You got Scotch tape instead.
I went for Scotch tape because I thought it would be easier, and it does the same job, doesn't it?
I don't think it does, mate.
I've got a claw hammer.
Yeah, put that down, please.
Yeah.
Very scared.
I should mention that we're recording... This is the first time we've ever recorded in my room.
La chambre de Paddy.
Yeah, exactly. Now that we've moved in together, thought we mixed it up, didn't we?
I hate this room.
Yeah, it's fine, isn't it? I've got a hammer, and that's to help me open the window.
Sweet, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing, the window's at an awkward angle. I can't just, like, open it normally, so you have to get the claw hammer underneath pull up.
That's not true at all.
No, they're
the same windows in the living room, and I can open them fine. If listeners would like to send in their window stories, I'd love to hear them. The thing is, though, if we're going to die, or if the Western world's going to die, what are we going to do to survive, mate? Because I've got no kind of experience of... you know, post-apocalyptic scenario, apart from Resident Evil.
What, you mean if this story...
Well, Last of Us.
We all know from the experience
those games just go, you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but British weather in general, like, you know, I'm not going to have a go at, you know, Britain shuts down when it snows, because everyone does that, and I really like it when it snows.
But our weather isn't that extreme,
thing. When they say, it's a fucking hurricane.
We get, like, a duck storm occasionally.
We get duck storms. What the fuck is a duck storm?
It's when three ducks land in close proximity to each other.
And their wings synchronise.
Yeah.
Like when you bounce on a trampoline at the
really
same time.
There's a really tiny change in pressure and you get one little puff of cloud formed.
And somewhere over at the edge of the world, Chaos Theory
happens.
There's a typhoon.
Ashton Kutcher makes a film.
Oh, butterfly effect. Watch out, Ashton. God.
Yeah, that was the joke, thank you.
But yeah, like we have, Britain, on the whole, has a big way of over-exaggerating these kind of things. It could turn out that this storm is absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but I think we should prepare for the worst case scenario.
Okay, all right. Well,
because shit could go down. I've played enough Fallout to know that bottle caps are going to be pretty good currency.
And Nuka-Cola. But that's nuclear. We're not talking nuclear post. What are you saying that if apocalypse was to come about by a storm, and I'm not saying like day after tomorrow, oh look, everyone's been washed away, oh that's it, oh look, there's a Statue of Liberty, oh she's gone. Like, I'm talking about, have you seen it? Never mind. But yeah, I'm saying that like if the storm ravages... We have to at least use... Let's use our flat as a starting point. Like, what could happen to it? Like,
it could just fall over.
Well, no.
I mean, it could.
Well, it depends how big the storm is.
Big old storm.
But it's a concrete flat, isn't it?
Yeah, big old storm could knock over a concrete flat any day.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking first... I mean, the first signs of the storm, we'd have, what? Rattling of the windows. Ooh. And, breeze. Your sheet music got blown off your piano stand earlier, and we both panicked.
It did. And I lost my quinine.
Exactly. Your Claire de Lune is now somewhere under the sofa. But, like you have the windows rattling, and, like, the door might go. And also, you know, when you go outside the door and the door slams, wind, you know, that can happen. And then we're talking, let's say it gets more and more extreme.
Dogs start flying.
Yeah. Cats start flying.
Children get a bit upset.
Ferrets. Awful. Like, you know, all the
worst ferities.
Do birds fly into the wind?
Oh, cycling. You it's really hard to cycle.
Well, because of the side winds.
No, the forward wind. The wind going in your face. You can't cycle.
Well, it's more dangerous if it's blowing at your side.
Well, you would think.
Did you fall?
Yeah. Oh. Hurt my knee.
Well, I don't know. Like, let's say... Okay, all right, hypothetically. Let's say...
Hypothetically.
The world is ravaged tonight.
Okay.
Well, no, just Britain?
Yeah, okay, just Britain. So what would you say? Maybe, like, a lot of us die.
Three quarters. What, so there's, what, 20 million left in Britain?
Yep.
17 million.
Yep. Take your word for that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's actually not that... Actually, no, it is a lot,
That's not many people.
I'm talking about apocalypse scenario. Surely at least, like, sort of 95%.
Okay, 95%. So we're down to...
We're down to
4
what?
Million.
No, that's bullshit.
What do you mean bullshit?
Oh, no, you're absolutely correct. My maths went wrong for a minute, and I apologise. Okay, so, like, what would... So let's say, how many flats are there here? What, there's, like...
What are you trying to do, mate?
Well, I'm trying to work out, in our area, would we end up...
Stop sizing up the opposition.
Would we be the last people in the zone? Is what I'm saying. Like, not the zone in London, but like this block of flats, would we be the only survivors? Assuming we survive.
Let's say we're the only ones who survive. And the other ones are turned mad by the wind.
Oh, well, all of them.
Wind madness.
Well, that means we'd have to... Right, okay, what, so they're prowling the... Wind madness!
It's a very common thing.
What, and they're...
My dad was in the Navy, and he got wind madness, and he chopped off all his fingers.
What are the...
And then put them back on the wrong fingers.
Is that the
same? So he had thumbs in the middle.
Wonky hand.
Thumbs in the middle.
Wonky hand.
So he tried to swear at a Frenchman, and instead he gave him a thumbs up.
Such a racist, wasn't he? Oh, I hated those French.
Poor old dad.
Oh, no.
And his wonky fingers.
Still talking about the Napoleonic Wars, aren't we? Oh, I hated the Napoleonic Wars.
Paddy, how old do you think my dad is? The Napoleonic Wars. This was the very famous Franco-Oxford Wars of the late 70s.
We're not even in Oxford. Was he in Oxford?
Yes!
Yes, of course he was!
Everyone was in Oxford who was in the army! Come on.
All right, so we're the last bit. So Wind Madness has taken roughly the population of...
So
we own... There's an area outside of our flat. There's sort of a green. There's about, what, like 100 flats here?
Yeah, let's just say.
We're in a tower block, basically.
There's everyone else, Paddy. There's not...
There's a car starting outside. Do they know what they're... Do you know what they're in for? That's what I worry.
Windy times.
Don't go! Oh, he actually looked at me. I'm going to keep staring at you.
Okay.
I'm going to kick...
Shall we kiss? Would that
he
be less bad?
He stopped the car.
Would that be less bad if we kissed?
Yeah, come on, let's
kiss. But like, tell you what, don't... Oh, God.
This is weird. But yeah, like...
So, if it was apocalypse tonight, let's not kiss.
Okay.
To make things better.
Yeah, no, you do that at the end.
Okay,
you? Like, because
yeah.
We'd realise that we were the last hope of mankind.
We'd have to repopulate. Why, hook or micro?
So let's say everyone in this tower area and the green bit outside, everyone's dead except for us, so we have this tower block. We'd have to break into all the houses if we were to expand our territory
just for fun.
But no, assume we'd stay in the flat. How long would we stay in the flat for, you know, with like nuclear fallout?
Until supplies ran out.
Okay, what have we got?
We pillage.
I've told you about the San Pellegrino, haven't I?
Right, let's assume that the power would go out because all the wind turbines would just, you know, explode from overstimulation.
They got overcharged.
Oh, and they became sentient.
So much power. Yeah.
And they became the last. I think basically we would survive as long as we could. And then you'd have to look for other survivors, surely.
Okay.
I think let's assume there's
would
not
Zach
there.
Would Zach live? Zach is our housemate, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I mean, he's all right in a wind situation, isn't he?
Oh, they've heard Zach. Zach was on an earlier podcast.
Zach's famous.
Zach's good at a wind situation. I agree.
He'd be quite hardy, like a little goat on the side of a mountain.
Zach's much stronger than both of us, and he has a beautiful French girlfriend, and he's a very attractive human being. He works very hard.
He eats
very healthily.
Generally better than us.
It's like the upgrade, isn't he?
Like, you know, he doesn't smoke, and he runs.
Yeah, exactly.
And...
Like, you'd need, like, three or four of us.
And
to, like,
he's got,
you know,
a master's, he's going to do a PhD.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very clever.
You know, when you, like, farm...
He has opinions about things.
Exactly. You know when you farm something for scrap metal, and then you build
what?
It into something better?
When you farm something for scrap metal?
No, I'm talking post-apocalypse.
Oh,
if
right,
everything's
okay.
fucked, we'd have to... No, genuinely, we'd have to go around. We'd be taking apart air conditioners.
Yeah.
Fans.
For free on.
Windows.
For free,
you know,
on.
You get
everything for free on.
Very good. And then we'd have to put it back together. And, you know, Zach would be really good at that.
I don't know if... do you know what? If I'm honest, I think he would. I think he's got the smarts. He's got the looks. I don't think he could engineer a Dyson Hoover out of...
Why would we need that?
Because we get
in a wind situation.
Because it gets so dusty.
All the dust is gone, mate. All the dust is blown away.
That's true.
Or is it blown back?
He couldn't make our microwave work off Freon. Is what I'm saying. I am fucking great with Freon.
I don't know what Freon is.
It's a thing.
I know Eon, their power company. They'd be fucked, wouldn't they?
They'd be gone.
So,
but yeah, after that, so us and Zach, I guess he can bring, you know, his girlfriend if he wants.
Chloe would die. Chloe would die. No, there has to be a subplot.
Oh,
Zach has to be seeking revenge against nature.
Against the wind.
Yeah.
And because he's been so responsible and lovely all his life, and then suddenly...
The wind bites back.
So he comes to realise that he actually doesn't hate the wind. The wind is beyond eventually in the end, and then that's when we kiss.
Okay.
But so, before that, we'd have to find the other survivors. That'd be priority number one, surely.
Yeah, of course. Well, we've already found Zach.
Like, but, that's great. I mean, that wasn't
Zach's
hard. It's just over there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the other guys, the other, you know, 3.999997 million people.
Okay, so in surrounding area there are lots of other tower blocks. I'm sure we'd find others, but would we get on with them? Would they be wind?
We'd have to. We'd have
to. Wind madness.
Honey, you'd have to put aside your differences for the greater good. Come on, have you not seen any? You know, there would be problems, and, you know, someone would probably get electrocuted. Knowing them,
yeah.
But in the end, we'd work out our differences. We'd have a very ethnically diverse group of
couple of children,
one person
who's dying anyway.
Yeah. Who sacrifices him or herself?
It's basically the Walking Dead.
There's it is. And there's an elderly couple.
Yeah,
and then there's Duck. He's there as well.
He's there. Someone's got a camper van.
Yeah.
You know, oh, there's the guy who knows how to use a gun. No one knows why. No one asks.
Yeah, that would be weird here, actually. If we suddenly loads of guns appeared, we'd be like...
Shit, where'd you get all of these?
Get the guns,
there aren't
man.
A lot of guns in this, actually.
Yeah, that's the thing. If any...
Actually.
No, I don't think there are. I think we give this place a lot of credit for being much tougher than it actually is.
Okay, all right. So we're going to go with finding other survivors.
So let's assume...
No, we have to get past the people who are wind-crazed outside before we get to the other strongholds.
Pungy sticks. Yeah.
But that would just be assuming they attack us, surely. Unless we set up traps.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pungy sticks. In the hole.
Yeah, of course. I know what pungy sticks are. Yeah, I was in Vietnam. But like...
Who wasn't, mate?
So we'd have to go out armed. Okay.
I would hope we'd have our arms, Paddy.
This is where the hammer comes in.
I've got
a claw hammer.
I would use...
Let's look around my room. I've got a tonfa up there. Do you know what a tonfa is?
No, I don't care to know either.
Did you ever play Soul Calibur 2?
No.
You did.
I did.
Yeah, you know Talim?
Oh!
She swings those... They've
got
kind
a bladed one.
No, they're wooden. They're like police batons that you spin around.
It's
I've got one of them.
It's useless, isn't it?
I've got Doc Martens.
You do have that bastard sword.
I've got a bastard sword.
Yeah, and I do have
very cool.
I do have a shard of Soul Edge in my room as well. Yeah, so it'd probably be all right.
We'd be sweet. Yeah. I've got a chessboard. We could use tactics.
And Zach's got his magic.
Zach's a mage.
He's a fire adept.
We could break a guitar over someone for the end of a season. Like it could be like we kill the musician.
That's gone, right, with
a guitar.
Huh? Maybe you should have been a bit more cordial.
I guess you didn't strike the right. Chord.
Looks like we had a minor falling out.
Better take note.
That's good, good.
Time for a major plot point.
Looks like...
I'm going to augment this sword.
Very good.
Your role has been diminished.
Looks like your head is treble cleft in twain.
That's actually really good.
So we're assuming, I mean, I think...
I've got a Wiimote.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, you could spin it.
Nunchucks.
I've got nunchucks. I actually have nunchucks. I was one of those kids, by the way.
I really was.
Nunchucks, katanas, like... You know, that,
and Pocky.
Yeah, and Pocky.
And, like, bollock loads of Pocky.
I love Pocky.
So, that would all be a really stunning, heartfelt, you know, interesting story.
Yeah.
But eventually we'd have to set up a new society, wouldn't we?
Well, like, let's say we get past the wind-crazed people. Yeah. We find others, and as you said, they'd be basically the cast of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. There'd be disagreements. Yeah. We'd probably end up having to kill someone.
Yeah, and would we be...
If someone turned, you know, like a breeze comes through, and it goes into someone's ear.
Mitchell? Mitchell, what's wrong?
And he starts sneezing. And then wings.
And is that what
and
wind
he's one with the wind.
Is.
Yeah, what happens to the animals?
Turn into... Wind madness turned into a swan, an angry swan.
An angry swan, and you gust away. And you're off on
and
the
you
wind.
You break everyone's arms.
And like pack of wild birds that are moving at supersonic speed.
Yeah, because they've learned to harness the
super
wind.
Yeah, harness the wind. It'd be like Wind Waker. Oh. We'd get an ocarina and we could get a boat.
So we'd have to go under. No, that'd be terrible with birds around.
What?
A boat in the middle of nowhere.
You can go inside a boat.
No, but then the birds would just knock it over. The birds would knock it over.
How many birds do you think would take to knock over a boat?
I think there are enough birds in the world to get angry.
Why would they target us?
Because they're wind crazed.
Why would they?
They're imbued with the power of wind.
They wouldn't organise just to attack our boat.
They would. Paddy, this is a very, very hypothetical situation.
Okay, so we've got
underground.
Okay, we're starting a new society then.
Or like the Eden Project. We're going on those big balls with all the nice plants inside.
Like it,
it's protected from wind. Very strong.
Yeah, but what if the plants? What if the plants?
No, you can't keep adding. No.
Okay.
No, I mean,
what if it's like The Happening? Have you seen that film? It's awful.
The bees, isn't it? In the end,
It's like the bees disappear, and then the wind like carries pollen that turns us against each other, or something.
Yeah, not having that.
It's fucking
not having that. Sorry.
Anyway,
sorry. M. Night Shyamalan.
Where would we start our new society then? Where do you have the least wind?
Underground.
Yeah, but we'd have to dig that. Like,
no,
I don't think we have the manpower.
Actually, there's a lot of wind in the tube, isn't there?
Yeah, but also then you'd have a society that was entirely in tunnels. Like, there aren't other rooms in the tube.
Paddy, I don't know.
Do landlocked areas have less wind?
Millennium Dome!
So we go in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we
do? We'd put on an amazing gig.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it'd be great.
Then
get,
ice skating.
You know,
then basketball match.
Science.
Then science.
You know, get people to learn.
Yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Then
Tutankhamun.
Yeah,
Tutankhamun. Isn't that British Museum?
No, he's in the way. He was when I went.
He's in the dome.
Yeah, he's in the dome.
What's it called now?
Oh, Tutankhamun's Pleasure Dome.
No, it's
called the big Greenwich Boob.
But doesn't the dome have a sort of like a sort of
the
balloon
O2.
Over it?
No, it's like
it's got like that big strung up thing.
But it's like solid, mate.
Okay.
It would stand up to the wind. Let's just assume, because otherwise we're never going to find anywhere.
Well, I was about to say we'd have to repopulate, but actually we're assuming that we found, what, 5% of the current population of London.
So it's like...
So 200,000 people?
I don't know, sure.
That's a complete guess.
Some people.
Yeah, some people, and it's lovely. Yeah, and then we'd have to build from the ground up, wouldn't we? Although the Millennium Dome's already got loads of stuff.
That's what I mean. They've got Wetherspoons in there, mate.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope the staff survive.
Oh, yeah. No, not Wetherspoons.
But then who'd be making the beer?
Oh.
Like, we'd run out. We'd have to make our own.
Oh, God, Paddy, these are not the important points.
Okay, what are the important points?
The important points are, how could we harness the birds who have already harnessed the power of the wind in order to make
string.
Really string. Fast flying...
Like balloons.
Oh, so we'd make a utopia, right? So it'd be amazing, because we'd have these beautifully wind-protected... Like, the dome would be, like, our capital.
Yeah.
And then we'd find little satellites of really wind-resilient buildings, and we'd have to build, like, tunnels to
like
start
Gherkin.
With.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd probably go down, but why not?
Why not?
It's a big Gherkin!
The wheel. Gherkin's... called? The Millennium
Gherkin,
Wheel.
The Millennium... That would definitely
London
go.
London Eye. That's
London
what
Eye
it's
would
called.
Definitely go.
Yeah, it would go, wouldn't it?
Anyway...
Sorry.
And then once we'd done that, we could set up expeditions to other countries.
Yeah.
And because all the planes are fucked because they got blown away, we'd have to harness loads of birds and make some kind of crazy contraption which you could strap like 80 swans to you and fly across the English
Channel. Can swans fly like a lot?
Are you joking? Yes.
Yeah, but no. But can they? Can they sort of? I thought swans sort of flew quite close to the ground.
I don't know. I've seen a swan soar. That's all I'm going to say. And it was beautiful.
See a swan soar. That's quite sweet.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a swan soar.
Would you?
Wow, I don't
know. A saw made of a swan.
Okay, or...
Very rigid.
A sea swan.
I think you need to stop that immediately.
Okay, so, all right. Well, basically, I think
things are pretty all right in the end.
So, yeah, we're in the pre-stages of the storm, but I think if that happens, we're going to be all right. I'm going to get started on this innocent smoothie.
I hear the wind.
Are you waiting?
It speaks to me.
Are you making wind noises?
It speaks to me, Paddy. I hear the...
Oh, God! Oh, God!
Welcome to my twisted circus. Won't you come inside? We've got mice with lots of hats and a lovely boat.
I ran out of ideas. So the wind's picking up.
Isn't
it? The old winds are starting to blow.
Yeah.
A little bit worrying.
It would sound like that.
It would. You can't hear it because we have a very elaborate microphone setup. Nice. See, I've got noise cancellation on. It's very fun, but
Perry.
Perry.
Mary.
Mary. Is that you?
Mary.
We've never met.
Sorry, I got the wrong number.
Bye.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's time. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's getting a bit worrying.
A bit frosty.
Like, if we die...
Well, come on, mate, let's not be more...
No, worrying. I mean, but come on.
If dying we, might happen.
If we die...
Yes.
We've got so many...
I'd like this to be my last memory.
No, we got so many loose ends on the podcast.
So many.
Like,
what would happen to Flagon?
Would
he survive?
What would happen to Vanessa?
Oh.
What about Kermit?
She would travel 1,000 miles.
Topcat and Benny the Bar, where would they go?
In the bin, where they belong. Vanessa Carlton would travel a long way just to check that we were all right, wouldn't she?
Oh, of course she would.
1,000 miles.
I get the impression we should probably close all of these doors just so people have like an element of
closure.
Finality.
I hate closure.
Well, we're going to give you closure in case there's no more podcast.
So what's happened to Vanessa Carlton then?
Vanessa Carlton, wow.
Perhaps she's on tour.
What hasn't she happened? Is she though?
She is.
And is she touring venues?
Yes.
Or is she touring streets?
I looked. Or street corners.
I'm not saying she's a hooker. I'm just saying she's a bad musician.
Like, she's a busker. I'm pretty sure she's on tour in America at the moment. And I remember looking at the list of her gigs. And
are they all
comment.
In one state?
No, no.
Are they all within walking distance of her house?
It's an interstate tour going to Vancouver. And then someone has commented on one of
the... I thought that was
in Canada. Yeah, but it's North American. I'm using the continent.
Okay, fine.
And someone had written down like... Oh, you simply must go to this venue. It's got real pretty lights inside. And Vanessa Carlton or her PR team replied, being like, yes, I'm really looking forward to it. And I like the fact that she's probably decided on where they're going. It's got nice lights inside. Oh, that'd be nice.
I bet it's really... I bet she's her own driver.
Do you reckon,
she's got this dilapidated
anyone in the crowd
tour
isn't
bus.
There to see... 1,000 miles. And then everyone, like, sees that song. She has to play at the end, otherwise everyone will leave.
She has to play it twice.
She has to play it four times.
Did I tell you about when I went to see Europe?
No.
I went, this is a really odd story, but you know,
it's not the final countdown if you do it 18 times.
We have to tell each other everything now, because if we, you know, if this is the end.
Don't say that!
So, I went to the Netherlands to see to Arrow Rock Festival.
Of course you did.
Because my sister was playing it. She got me tickets, and I went with my friends James and Will, and it was brilliant. It was my sister's band, and Aerosmith, Europe, Tesla, Steve Vai,
it was
Riders
Nikolai
of the Storm,
Tesla,
Toto.
Nikolai Tesla played a gig on his favourite famous musical Lightning Orbs.
Absolutely.
Great.
Oh, God, it was amazing. It was a spectacle.
Was it David Bowie pretending to be Nikolai Tesla
it
in the film
in the
Prestige? And he just had a black cat, which he chucked across the stage so often.
But anyway,
what goes on? The little cat's gone for a little journey across the stage.
I went out there, and Europe were playing at sort of, you know, 2 in the afternoon.
Of course they were.
It was amazing, and they kept playing all these songs that no one wanted to hear. And
guys, this is our smash hit, Dancing in the Living Room.
Cherokee Man.
Cherokee Man.
And it was all, and they played the final countdown and then went off stage, and then their encore was the final countdown. And they came back and did it again. And if anything, it was better the second time. It was amazing.
Because you knew when it was going to end.
I knew it was over soon. Anyway, yeah, I bet she's playing that. Like, she doesn't really have any other songs as far as I know. And a lot of the songs are her sat on a piano going through the streets. And, you know, all this. There's
I went
one
down
has...
the street to see my boyfriend Joe, and he broke up with me.
And there's an owl. And she has one where she dances. It's bleak.
Or
it's called
dancing.
it's called the flag or white flag.
I think you're making all of this up yet again.
Down. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, just to let you guys know, she's safe. She's on the rocks.
Does she survive the windocalypse?
I think she will. I don't think, and I think if she didn't,
she's
one would
pretty
know.
Tethered. She's pretty tethered to the ground.
She's pretty tethered.
She's
very buoyant.
She's got mass.
I think people just leave her alone from now on.
Great.
I think, you know, all in all, she's fine.
She's fine.
What other causes have we not sanded off?
Sexy canoe.
Sexy
never
canoe.
Got back in the
sexy
canoe. Did I?
Oh, what
I
a
loved
time
my little sexy canoe.
Watch that girl out in my sexy canoe.
Bring your friends, bring your family, bring your pets.
That was amazing.
There are so many songs we haven't gone back to that we said we would as well, actually. We've got some great little... You might have noticed in the interim periods in the podcast. Pablo is a fan favourite.
Oh, yeah.
Spider. What will happen to him next?
Oh.
Better find out.
We should record all these songs. Like, if we survive...
We'll record these songs.
I'll write out some
music. We'll go to a studio.
Music.
Get some studio time.
Words
we'll get Nigel Godrich, he of Radiohead, producing fame.
Loves it. And we'll do all those songs. We wrote that song about Star Wars.
That's an oldie. Yeah,
and we wrote
that's
song.
A really good song.
We wrote a song called Hey Joe, which is not, you know, it's called Hey Joe, Where Did You Go?
Hey Joe. Where did you go?
But, yeah,
and
no,
there's a funny twist.
There's a funny twist. Who
is
Joe?
Not who you might
he's
imagine.
He's not who you think he is. He's not Joe. That's for sure.
It's Joe Pesci.
Oh, Joe Pesci.
Hey, what am I doing here?
But yeah, we have all those songs that we've yet to release.
Yeah.
And God, what else is there? Like, do you remember Monkey Madness?
Oh, God, yeah, we're still making that fucking game, aren't we?
Monkey Man. People may have noticed from the iTunes description of Pod Shambles that...
it mentions a game that we've never talked about.
I'm actually going to read it out, because Monkey Madness is an up-and-coming second-person reflective RPG flight sim from the creators of A Game of Goats and A Game of Goats 2, Trouble in Paradise. Now, that's us, of
those
course.
Games were done.
Those
we
games
those
were
ones.
Done. They were big,
well, I mean,
big
they
hits.
Got, I mean, they never got out beta testing.
No,
they?
Of course.
I mean, Monkey Madness, of course, is in pre-alpha.
Pre-alpha.
Which is quite hard.
We're yet to
because
install.
There's not an actual game to test.
We haven't put controls in.
So we send people a blank floppy disk and just go on, tell us what's wrong with it.
It's full of GIFs.
And they just go,
monkeys. Like,
they go, I don't have a floppy disk reader.
Like
we go, wow, that's a bug.
Well, yeah, that's
big
a bug.
Yeah,
we need to iron that out.
Full of weevils.
Testing. And, like, that's the, like, basically the idea is when you boot up the game, this will be an alpha, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, basically, there's menu screen.
Would you like to Monkey Madness, please? Yeah.
Would you like Monkey Madness, please? Celebration enjoy! And, like,
Celebration enjoy!
And there's a button that says new game, and a button that says quit. And then there'll be load game when we install a save game feature. Yep. But...
Until then.
When you try and click either of them, thousands of chimps, like little
chimps. Yeah, that's always been in the game. That's what we said in the beginning.
But they flop
off. Yeah, we said that in the beginning.
But, they're having so much
fun. We've got to add new features. People want new features.
Umbrellas.
Umbrellas.
Monkey's umbrella.
There's the umbrella round.
Oh, and if it's stormy, and you know, say it floods, they can turn them upside down. Little boats. Little monkey boats. And they're little upside down.
You are not the man I thought.
Thousands of them just floating down the Thames.
So basically, the dev diary for Monkey Madness, which is, I mean, we're kind of... basically,
it's coming soon.
Something's happened. We can't tell you what.
We're going to get Liam Welton to produce it.
Oh, Summer Sea Liam fan. Welcome.
And that's going to be amazing. Like, well done. Monkey Madness is going to be the next big thing. I mean, hopefully we'll get to finish it before we die. Like, that's what I'm hoping. Like,
even if it wasn't for the apocalypse, I hope that...
We need to survive.
Yes.
What else have we got? Left?
Poster Salmon. He's, you know, he's in a little eddy caused by the storm.
Yeah, it's up, but he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He's off. Oh, he's fertilising some eggs. Don't worry.
He's in the sea.
He's up in Loch Lamond.
Loch Lamond.
Loch Lomond.
Loch Lomond.
Loch Lomond.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Mr. Scotch.
Actually, my granddad lives by Loch Lomond.
Sorry. I hate Scotland.
Oh, do you?
I hate Scotland.
Yeah, that's right. Get it all out now.
Scotland.
Get it all out now before we go.
I hate Scotland. Yogurt.
Oh, I fucking love Scotland.
Yogurt.
Yorker. But yeah, like, Postal Salmon will be fine. Yeah. Like, I'm sure, you know what? The adventure will continue in your own hearts, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, like, we've started the fire. You just got to
watch. It was always burning. Since the world was turning.
You just got to watch it
burn. It's turning
a
bit more.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Like the Joker, Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that there's one thing, you know, like...
Engine room Phil will die in the storm.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry.
He would die in the tiniest...
In pre-storm.
He like, really minorly
he
adverse
died
conditions.
Weeks ago.
If it got a little bit too hot, he'd die. But we should impart some of our knowledge before we go, because, like, you know, we want this to stand up as, like, a bastion of sensible advice and stuff.
Yeah, it'll be like, you know, what are they called? Time capsules.
Yeah, I mean, we should, like, impart some... I tell you what, we should just do like a couple of little guides.
Yeah.
As to, you know, stuff, just in case like the knowledge gets lost with the
ages. Of course, so people have, you know, like a
reference point, you know, from like, you know, when if one man gets wiped out and they're like, well, I don't know how to, oh, I've forgotten how to plant a potato.
I don't know toast anymore.
Yeah, and then we can give a little summary. So I think, I mean, we should choose stuff that's really, you know, like I'm clasping my hands, that's how like, you know, I'm doing that.
Driving.
Synergy. Driving.
Driving.
Do you know driving?
I know all the driving.
Do you want to tell us about driving then?
I will. Just for... All right.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
If you're listening to this...
Paddy Jervis's...
We're gone.
Guide to driving for those left behind by the windocalypse.
Okay.
Take it away.
Ben. Right, okay. Thank you for downloading this post-mortem podcast. They're probably trying to find out what society was like. Yeah. Basically, okay. Right, we had these things, yeah, called cars. They were... They were everywhere.
Where were they?
Right, okay, so basically, you know, what will there be a lot of? You know, snails?
Yeah.
Right, okay, imagine the back bit of a snail.
We used to
call it a shell,
you know,
didn't
the
we?
The film Turbo.
Turbo. Turbo.
Big
Have
snail.
You ever seen Cars? That would make it much easier, wouldn't it?
Have you ever seen The Love Bug? One of them.
Brum.
But
Herbie. Little Brum. Okay, so we had these things. They were like big snails. They were like big shells.
No,
okay, you know Tupperware? Because that'll survive, won't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Cockroaches, they live through everything. All right, think of if a cockroach was made out of Tupperware and it could move and it was about the size of a. Assuming you're not horribly mutated by the
wind. A small rhino.
Yeah, a small rhino. These cars, like, they varied in size, but.
Or a big dog.
We used to use them for transportation, much as you would a giant cockroach Tupperware. So, what we used to do, had these things called doors, right?
You know a door!
You know,
they're the ones
big
that
old
get,
doors!
They're the ones that get swept around by the wind and slam!
Yeah, exactly. You know what the wind's like, don't you? We don't talk about the wind. But anyway, so we had these things, right. It's like, okay, imagine...
Go on, explain a door to me.
Imagine a window, but into a house. Yeah.
What? Windows are on houses.
Yeah, but the windows...
And doors aren't always on houses. In fact, there's only one, usually one on the house.
So, all right, basically, it was like a bit of protective material that you could open, we called it.
Like Alvin, but
there
not.
Was a bit in the door that wasn't like the rest of the door, that when you pulled on it, the door, proverbially, opened. Right, and to open is to create what we used to call an entrance.
Oh, God.
Into the car.
I mean, I know entrances.
All right, okay.
And probably doors.
Let's assume a bit. Okay, they've got doors. So we used to go in
what
the doors.
What do you do when you've made an opening into the giant
right.
cockroach
So then you get inside the weird hybrid kind of, you know, metal head, if
it was
you
like
will.
Beast Wars.
Head of the
like
car.
Like Beast Wars.
Like, you remember Robot Wars? It's like that, but for cars.
Like Sekiller Lot, but without a lance.
Like driving.
Like Matilda,
yeah.
But not
Shunt.
Not Shunt.
Remember Shunt?
Chaos 2.
Chaos 2. He was the star.
Do you remember Wheelie Big Cheese?
We've talked about Wheelie Big Cheese before. Anyway. So
he's my favourite.
Check out the archives of Robot Wars. You might get a better idea.
Ignore Craig
now,
Charles.
Now, these cars, they were on what we had called the Wheel. Now, the wheel is one of the oldest discoveries that humans had.
It's like a wagon wheel.
It's like a square, but without edges. And it allowed for ease of mobility down what we would call a street or roads.
You know, when the wind picks up a dog and rolls it into a little ball and it
we
goes
had wheels.
For miles. It's like one of those, but made of metal.
Yeah, exactly. So we used to use them to
and
get
rubber.
A place to play. So you'd get into the car on the wheels, yeah, through the door. And you'd sit in what these chairs, right? Now, you know, dogs. We're using dogs as a frame of reference. You skin a dog, right?
God,
tan
if
the,
you skin
tan,
a dog.
Tan the hide, you'll get leather. Now, leather will come in handy when you need warmth, okay? You'll need it for coats and chairs. Now, this is where chairs comes into it. So you put the leather on the sort of frame
I mean, that's
or the
not
chair.
An essential part of driving the car, is
no,
it?
No, I mean, it could be made out of material.
I think material will survive.
Okay, right, so that's fine. So you get in your chair.
How'd you make the car go?
Okay, so, you can turn the car on by powering it on with this thing called the ignition. You use a key, which you're probably still around.
Many keys.
I'd imagine. We have many keys. And you'd turn the little thing, and basically it was filled with petrol. And
which is dead dinosaurs. It's crushed into pack sludge.
But good luck figuring that one out. like that is fucking complex. So you fill it with petrol, which I'm sure you'll find.
Squash
their pants. Actually, there's probably cars everywhere, aren't there? They're probably still there. But where would the wind put them? Like, all right, so these cars,
where
yeah.
would the wind put
what
them?
You need to do, get into them. Some of the cars will probably still have keys in them.
Yeah.
Keys, so you turn
some
them.
Some people.
Right, and you get the ignition. And it turns on. Car goes.
You're going to try and like explain
okay.
ignition engine.
You've got these two pedals. Three pedals. Three pedals?
Yeah, it's three pedals.
Never driven a car.
It's becoming painfully apparent.
I've driven a car, but then never again.
But then I died.
And God. And yeah, so you got these three pedals. One is go, one is stop, and one is complicated. So, right, so you got them. Right, what you need to do, and you've got gear stick, unless you find what's called an automatic, but fuck them. You're probably in Britain with the store. So you've got gear stick. Now you need to put it into a gear. Right, which basically means the car can go. You then push the go pedal, right? Go pedal? What were they? What do they call it? Accelerator. Yeah, and your car will then move.
No, it won't. But carry on.
Oh, you've got a thing called a handbrake, which has a button on it. It looks like a sort of...
Nibble.
Like, yeah, like a cock with a nipple
really...
on the end.
A cock.
You will find that
spewing out
by your left hand,
so
assuming you're in the correct seat.
Push the really hard nipple.
Push in the
back
nipple
into
lift
the cock.
Up the cock and balls. And
no, push down the cock and balls.
Push that. Really?
Yes.
I thought you lifted a handbrake up.
No.
To, oh right.
To put the gentleman back to bed.
Okay. All right. And then you can go, can't you? It's in gear. You
apart
can
from the clutch.
And you can drive.
Sure.
You can drive. And you can go around. It'll get you places much faster. And you use it. You've got another wheel. Do you remember when we talked about wheels? There's one of them in the car. Now, angle the wheel left to turn to the left. Angle it right to turn to the right. Not too fast. Might get an accident. If other people learn how to use cars, this is going to be an issue. Because we had laws, we had roads, we had traffic attendants, we had lights, we had theory tests.
And police dogs.
Yeah, and people had to train to use these things. So, I mean, this will give roughly the same idea, won't it? So that'll be great. So basically, congratulations. You're now driving a car. You got a boot. You can put stuff in it. That you know, like
yogurt.
The remnants of your old life. Take him somewhere else.
The corpse of your auntie Edna.
Start anew.
Just in case you want to take it off a cliff.
Oh, brilliant. Like, and you can drive around. You can fit probably up to five people in there. You know, and also you get bigger ones, you get smaller ones, yeah? Some of them are more fuel efficient, okay? And because there's probably not a lot of it yet left, go for the sort of what? Fiat Puntos. They were quite efficient.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Corsa. No. Yeah. See, I know, if I know my cars, and I think
you know cars, like you know eggs.
Yeah, I know, do I? Then
well enough to make an omelette.
You're going to be absolutely fucking fine.
Well, great. I'm glad we left that. Next week.
Yeah, you should do it.
Tell you all about Aikido.
Aikido!
Because you like a bit of Aikido, don't you?
Useful
for personal defense.
I used to do a lot of Aikido.
Yeah. So Aikido is like Japanese pretend fighting and... wear a big dress and got a sword. But I'll tell you next week all about it.
I'm going to start on this San Pellegrino.
Okay, you enjoy that, mate.
Get through the stocks.
Lovely.
While stocks last. Apocalypse. Xylophone song. It's the xylophone song. Xylophone song. I love xylophones.
We really, really need a xylophone.
We should just buy one, shouldn't we? Yeah, it'd be easier. All right, we're actually getting to sort of critical point.
Critical mass.
Critical point in the storm.
Dogs are flying up the walls.
No, storm's really fucking taken off, and like the wind is quite ghastly. If you were, it's quite.
Maybe it'll evolve into a haunter before too long.
Man, it's getting a nice.
Yeah.
And then a Gengar.
And now Mega Gengar.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's the shadow of Clefairy. You heard about that?
I have. Yeah. Freaky shit,
isn't it? But no, it is actually. But like, this neatly leads me on to my next point.
Uh-huh.
It's getting this storm.
Hey, little baby, would you like to come with me? I got a lollipop.
This storm's getting pretty scary. That was really, really good. I enjoyed that. This storm's getting pretty scary. You know what else is pretty scary?
Scary Spice.
Nah.
We're realizing you haven't paid your council tax.
Yep. Gathering darkness.
Gathering darkness. The crushing realization that you'll die alone.
Halloween is in a few
Halloween's
days.
Halloween's also quite scary.
If we live to see it. Ooh. Boo. I'm a god. No. it's Halloween in a couple of days. So,
a boo!
We should... A boo, indeed. So, yeah, I figure we should talk about it a bit because people might know what Halloween is in the future.
I don't like Halloween.
Do you not? Neither do I.
No, it's so boring. Oh, I'm going to not go. I'm going to leave in the soapbox at home this week. But, like, no.
Really?
Not having Halloween. Don't mind it. Religious fest, fine. But it's all there. I was right. My little brother came today.
Uh-huh.
Last couple of days. Reuben, hello. Probably not listening. Very rude. I don't know.
Is he not a listener?
Maybe not.
Doesn't listen. Doesn't listen to anything you say.
No, he is.
You're his older brother.
Anyway,
sorry.
In Nando's, as we were wont to be, and had lovely Nando's dinner.
Last Supper.
Well, no. It was,
if you will.
No, it was...
The Last Supper.
We didn't know, did we?
With Christ.
Okay, no.
And Judas.
Put that away.
All right.
Put your little pedagogy away. Yeah, well done. And we had Nando's. And while we're in Nando's, which, you know, I admit is not the most formal of restaurants, but, you know, I still expect for this thing not to happen. A couple of kids wearing, like, literally a mask, nothing else, with a fucking plastic receptacle for stuff, came up to me at Nando's and said, trick or treat.
Whilst you were eating?
Whilst I was eating. Like, literally, like, fork in my mouth kind of thing.
Wow.
And I was like, no!
Trick or eating?
Obviously, no. Obviously, I don't, you know, if I did have, like, pocket full of sweeties to give to children at Nando's, that is, you know, wrong in itself. That's sending out a very weird message. Number two, I think the implication was they wanted money. And it, no! I'm eating my dinner! And I shared a really brilliant moment. There was a family eating next to us, and they got accosted as well. And I had a very excellent nod. What's life like, eh? What are those kids like? With the guy at the table who also got asked.
I hated it. I did one of those nods on the tube today. Yeah, I was on the tube, and it was relatively full.
Mm-hmm.
And the person, there was a spare seat opposite me.
And there was a guy sat next to it, and his coat was slightly on the chair. Ever so slightly on the chair.
Oh, gosh, what a prick.
A guy got on the tube, walked up to the guy, lifted up his umbrella, and tapped the guy's coat, and then tapped him in the arm with his umbrella and went, like that. And the guy,
wow.
And the guy went, oh, I'm very sorry, and like moved his coat ever so slightly, and the guy sat down and went, and the guy literally wide-eyed just looked at me and gave me that sort of, did you see that as well?
Please,
and I gave him the nod and was like,
there's a prick.
He's a bastard. Yeah. That's fine. Anyway, sorry. That's it.
I just don't. I think that whole kind of, I don't know.
Do you not get a bit spooky?
No. You know, in America, it's fun because everyone's on the understanding that all the kids will go out and all the kids will go and get candy. And if you live in a nice suburban neighbourhood, you will have stuff for those children.
Mm.
But I live in London and no one does it. Mm. And I never did it. And so I hate the assumption that I should. And I can just imagine if those kids' parents were nearby, they'd look at me and be like, oh, what a tight bastard kind of thing. It's like, no, I'm not giving your children stuff just because they came to talk to me.
Yeah.
That's not how this works.
So I'm sort of in agreement. I've never been a fan of Halloween.
Maybe I'm an old jack-o'-lantern scoot. Jack-o'-lantern scoot McGee.
Back in Magny.
Hey, they haven't been around for a while, have they?
Oh, yeah, we should close this.
Do you remember?
Halloween.
Halloween.
Halle Berry.
Ooh.
Was you in that sword?
I used to go.
I used to go out.
Rest of the fish.
Truck and trouting. Get an old family truck.
Oh.
Catch a whole lot of trout. Oh, Siri.
The local little river.
Little across the wind.
Oh, but then the winds came. Oh, and not many of us survived that, did we? That was back.
Let me.
Halloween 1888.
Oh boy, it's still going.
Back in the dark ages.
Let me come sit down here, son.
Right.
It's Halloween.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll tell you a story.
Have you got any good spooky stories?
Oh, mate, I think I do, but I think it stems from also, I don't like Halloween either. I'm a huge fan of Bonfire Night and Guy Fawkes, and I really like that as a tradition. Like,
it's lovely, and it's quite a lovely, you know, anti-establishment message. It goes nice to remember.
Get around a fire, set it on fire,
and remember trying to kill the king.
Yeah, and but actually, remember a man that didn't succeed.
And we're like, burning him. It's quite a royalist message.
Yeah, it is odd, but I really like. Maybe not so much the message.
Maybe we should burn an effigy of David Cameron's fat face.
Oh,
and all the fat cats.
Satire.
Oh, and his little lap goblin.
Oh. Nigel Farage.
Jimmy Crushum.
Oh, Jimmy Crushum. Jimmy Crushum. He's crushing everything.
He makes the milkshakes.
Anyway, so I really like the idea of everyone coming together around a fight. You just have a lovely time. I think I've spoken about Bonfire Night before, but like, I just love it. So I find Halloween just to be this kind of like, why fucking bother? Like, put your effort into a really.
There's no kind of commonality about it, is there? It's kids going around getting stuff off.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of people our age do like celebrate and they have parties and stuff like that. And it sounds quite kind of old Scroogey of us to be like, yeah, no, I don't like. But like, we don't really go to those parties.
No.
And we're not.
No one invites us.
We're not very good at them.
Not the last time.
But like, yeah, I did have one phenomenally fun Halloween.
Yeah.
I was in America.
Oh.
I went to visit my aunt and uncle, Raz and Wink Wingerder. That's their name.
No, okay, fine.
And they are brilliant. They live in New Orleans. Well, not anymore. Since the last great storm, their house, that was just quite a serious point. Their house genuinely got fucking destroyed.
Wow.
And they moved to Scotland, and then to Texas. So you know, it's all fun. Now they're back in New Orleans. I went there. I was 7 years old. And it was fucking amazing. Like, we went out there. I'd never been to America.
Mm.
We stayed with them. And They had so many jelly beans. Like, it was amazing.
Already, it's the greatest trip ever.
It's great. Right? It's brilliant. Like, so in the same vein, my dad's not a big fan of Halloween, and he's always been slightly cautious about, you know, he has a young son. Like, you know, I've got older siblings. He doesn't want to send me out into the streets looking for sweets. And I really wanted to go.
Obviously.
And I told my dad on like the 28th of October, I was like, I really want to do Halloween this year. And my dad was like, I don't know, we're in a foreign country, like who are you going to go
with? Could be bears.
And it got to Halloween, and I was put to bed early. I went to bed, I think about like, I don't know, 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, something like that. Like, and I was really upset that I wasn't going to Halloween. And my uncle Wink took my dad drinking. They went out. And I remember about 9:30, it's a little knock on my door.
Oh, Santa Claus!
And it was Santa. Oh. Dead Santa.
Oh.
Can you imagine? That would make me shit myself. Like, anyway, and it was my auntie Roz.
End of childhood.
And Roz, she opens the door and she goes, hey, look, come on, get up. Like, you're coming with me. And I was like, okay, what are we doing? And she was like, you'll see. I got dressed, we got into the car, and we drove 15 minutes out of town to the Halloween All Year Superstore.
What?
Mate, it was like as big as like
it's,
the
it's
biggest...
It's good as the ancient
imagine
Christmas
the
shop.
The biggest Halfords you've ever seen. It was as big as that, just for Halloween, open all year round.
The biggest Halfords.
Can you imagine
so
how much
big
stuff you could build?
So many bikes.
And
so many car seats.
It was, oh God, it was stunning. And she took me there and she said, we're going to buy you a costume. You can have anything you want. And I ended up, I got this little Grim Reaper's costume. I got a little scythe and I had this like robe and all this kind of thing. She bought me a mask.
Cute.
Right, that had tubes running down like my neck inside my costume to my wrists with buttons on them.
With spider webs.
So
Spider-Man.
That's the thing. You press the buttons on your wrist and your face bleeds.
What?
The mask starts bleeding.
What?
And it's got this thin layer of plastic over it, so it all gets recycled and your mask is just constantly dripping blood everywhere. It was amazing. And then she took me out to her friend's house who had children and was like, can Paddy come with your kids trick-or-treating? And there was like 20 kids and we went round for like half an hour, like all around the street. And I came back with genuinely half a bin bag full of sweets. And my dad got home pissed and I was sat there in the living room like sugared out of my fucking tits and like sweets everywhere. And we were, and Roz, we were watching Monty Python. Roz decided to introduce me to that.
Jesus.
And I was so excited, you know, like, oh my God, John Cleese is hilarious and I've got sugar everywhere. And it was just stunning. And I had such a good time. And then the next day we went to Alabama. And this is where it gets even better. Went to Alabama with my aunt and uncle to visit some friends. And they said, oh, we're going to go and do Halloween again tonight. I was like, are you fucking
double
kidding
Halloween
me? Like, this is going to be amazing. Are we going trick-or-treating? They're like, no, we're going to go to this event, right, called Zoo Boo.
Zoo Boo!
Zoo Boo.
Is it a zoo?
It was, okay, check this out. It was a zoo that they'd shut about a month earlier to turn it into a Halloween zoo.
Hang on. That I'm quite disturbed now. Are we talking like zombie penguins?
No, we're talking like the animals are all fine, but their stuff has been like redesigned so that it's all like all of their enclosures.
Yeah, what if
and
the
stuff.
Animals get
no,
scared?
They're loving it. They've just got
what
no
if the animals,
animals
get
love
scared?
It, right? And the little train that
what
goes around
the
zoo is now a ghost train.
What if the animals doesn't like pumpkins?
Animals love pumpkins.
They don't.
Like that's a well known fact.
I could find an animal that doesn't like pumpkins.
Name
I
one.
Bet you. I don't know. What about the humble alligator?
The humble alligator
could
loves
never swallow a whole pumpkin.
Crocodile.
Hates them.
But, yeah, and we went to Zoo
Giant
Boo.
Sea otter.
And
krakens don't like...
Of course they love pumpkins. Krakens eat
don't.
Everything.
No, shut up. You don't know.
Yes, they do.
Chaffinches don't like pumpkins.
A chaffinch would never want a pumpkin.
Yeah, but he wouldn't like it. You do it out of social pressure.
Everything likes pumpkins. Anyway, so all the animals like
amoebas.
In their like zoo enclosures and like
amoebas.
All that stop it. And the zoo opens at night instead, and you still go around. All the enclosures are open. A lot of the animals are asleep, but it's fine. All the attendants dressed in like the scariest things I've ever seen, and you go on this little train.
The
that
skin
goes,
of their enemies
goes around the zoo. Yeah, basically, and you sit on the back of this train, and the train gets chased by all these people dressed as animals,
oh, wow.
Like zombie versions of animals, and like zookeepers that have been turned into
and
zombies.
Godzilla.
And they chase you, and you're going past all this stuff. Like, you go past a tree that there is someone tied to whilst people hack him apart with axes.
What?
And it was fucking terrifying. I had
explains
an amazing
a lot about
time.
You, mate.
I had such a good
you
time.
Love axes.
Like Halloween in America was super fun as a child because all the parents are just drinking together because they all take the night off. Kids will go out. They have a designated whatever. Parents will just get slammed. Oh. Sit outside their house. Buckets of sweets. Just every kid. It's like, hey, take as much as you want. You know, that was my American
good accent, mother.
Yeah. Hey there, sport.
Hey, buddy, old pal.
Wanna go to
wanna,
the Halloween?
Hey, why don't you put your fist in the knicker there and see if you can find yourself a nice old
San Pellegrino
bit-o candy?
Oh, I'm gonna go to the baseball
bit-o candy.
Oh, watch out!
Watch out! What?
Have you got any? Yeah, like you asked earlier, have you got any scary stories?
Oh.
Then I might have one in a bit. But
I've got this only the scariest story you've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called.
Should I be prepared?
It's called.
Oh, Blood Orange.
No.
I'm drinking San Pellegrino.
It's called. It's called.
I'm starting to doubt that you have a
I've
story.
I've got a story. It's called The Recorder of Death.
Okay.
Once upon a time.
Right.
There was a little boy.
Little recorder.
Oh, he was called Jimmy Richards.
Jimmy Richards. That sounds real.
Jimmy Richards. He went to school one morning full of happiness and light. And his mum said, "Oh, Jimmy. There's a new club after school today. It's called Recorder Club. Would you like to go?" Jimmy. Oh, well, Jimmy had always dreamt of playing a musical instrument. His big favourite person in the world was Jimmy Page.
Oh.
And he loved the woodwind arrangements on Led Zeppelin 4, particularly on Stairway to Heaven, let's say. And as a result, he had a really unnatural desire to play a woodwind instrument. So he thought, recorder sounds pretty fun by me, Mum. So he said, "Mum, I would love to go to Recorder Club." So went off to school.
Where does he live?
He lives in Lower Helmsley.
The scariest place.
No, Lower Helmsley.
Side of Ottawa.
Lower Helmsley's lovely.
Okay.
It's in. Oh,
how old is he?
He is 7 years old.
What's his mum called?
His mum's called Mrs. Rogers.
Does he have any siblings?
No, it's not important.
Does he go to school?
He goes to school.
Is he homeschooled? Does he have a towel?
Shut the fuck up. Goes to school.
Okay.
Got a little leather satchel on his way.
Ooh, okay.
Off to school. Really excited. School goes on forever. It's so boring because he's just waiting for the after school club at 3 o'clock so he can finally get his mitts on a recorder. At lunchtime.
Cheeky mitts.
Goes and has lunch. Oh, and it's a special. He'd forgotten, but it's a special themed lunch today. Oh, it's Halloween. Of course it is. Oh, it's brilliant.
He forgot.
Pumpkin soup for starters.
Yeah.
And they've got. Oh, it's worms and mud. It's spaghetti bolognese.
Of course.
For lunchtime. And he eats it all up.
What's the pudding?
Lum, yum, yum. Nothing. Don't have pudding.
Because that's scary.
Because it's government-run school. No.
Oh, okay. Government school.
Austerity.
Okay.
And he finally gets some after school lessons. And the last lesson is geography. Well boring. Don't need to go into that. Finally. Good. Gets out, he runs down the corridor and he bumps. Oh, sorry, miss. And he sees, it's only Miss Jones, the lovely, very quiet music teacher. Miss Jones looks really upset and he goes to Jimmy.
How tall is she?
Fuck off. I'm trying to build some atmosphere, man.
Oh, right, sorry.
Miss Jones.
Ow.
I hit him.
He slapped me.
Miss Jones looks absolutely terrified.
Right.
And Jimmy thinks it's him. Jimmy, oh, miss, I'm so sorry, I didn't see you there. Oh, no, oh, Jimmy, no, it's fine. No, it's something else, don't worry. Are you coming to Recorder Club? And Jimmy says, yes, I'm so excited. Do I get to take a recorder home? She goes, yes, you will.
Oh, man.
You will do. And Jimmy, I mean, Jimmy's only seven, so he doesn't really understand the kind of pathos of that moment. So he's, oh, brilliant, oh, great. Well, I'll see you later, miss. I'll see you in the classroom. She goes, I'll see you later, Jimmy.
Is she trembling? This is tense.
Very slight.
This is tense as fuck. Very slight.
Anyway, so Jimmy bounds along to the classroom and he sees a couple other kids there.
Who are they?
There's Richard.
Arnold.
From year four.
Richard Arnold.
Arnold, who's someone else.
Arnold.
Oh, and there are the twins, Gabriella and Daisy. And they're
and
all really excited. And Rodrigo, the Spanish exchange student. Anyway, he goes to listen and they're all really excited and Miss Jones comes in, still looking quite upset, but she sums up, she goes, okay, kids, here we go. Well, thanks for coming for a call. I hope you're all excited. Here, I've got some recorders. And she hands everyone, and Jimmy, being the well-brought-up boy he is, he lets everyone else have one first, and she hands out the recorders. And she goes, Jimmy goes, oh, Jimmy, I forgot you were coming.
She's already forgotten?
No, because she's so flustered.
Oh, because of the run-in.
Who knows?
Presumably.
And she goes, I've only got this one, and I'd have to give it to you. And you know, Jimmy doesn't really understand, but he goes up really excited.
Yeah, of course.
And she pulls out of her handbag, and it's this, and it's a beautiful recorder, and it looks like it's made of ivory. It's kind of, you know, very, it's not the one black and white plastic ones. It's you know, the colour of ivory.
Okay,
I'm
wow.
looking for the colour of ivory here. it looks like, anyway, and it's beautifully carved, and it's got these amazing intricate carvings all over it.
Yeah.
It looks incredibly old and incredibly intricate. Oh, miss, are you sure? She goes, yes, no, you have to have it. You have to have this. And he goes, oh, fine, I don't really understand. Anyway, and she goes, right, okay, well, here's the chart. And she picks up a chart, and it's blah, blah, blah. She's like, really easy. Three notes. Easy key. They all play. And everyone in the class takes in turns of having a go. And she goes, right, so it's these three fingers all together. That's a G, blah, blah. Lesson goes on. Eventually, Jimmy's go.
Right.
He is still mesmerised by his thing. And he puts it up to his lips, and he plays it. And it's the most beautiful sound you've ever heard.
Aww.
Jimmy's never played this, but inspired by Jimmy Page's ranged sections in Stairway to Heaven, he plays Barbara Blackstreet more beautifully than anyone, and all the kids just agape, absolutely. Jimmy, have you played this already? Oh my God, Jimmy, why? And he goes, I don't know. And he looks over to Miss Jones, and Miss Jones is just completely, her eyes are wide.
Yeah.
Her hands are shaking.
Right.
There's something very wrong. Jimmy's just about understood. He's just like, there's something weird going on. And she just goes, oh, well done, Jimmy. Well, I suppose that's okay. Well, great. Okay, great. At that moment.
Me.
So it was quite loud, wasn't it?
Fucking hell.
Jimmy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That was
the end. Don't leave me hanging.
The whole class turns around in slow motion, and they look out the window where the scream emanated from.
Yeah.
They all look out the window, and out of the window, who could it be? It's only Neil from
Winchester.
Neil Winchester from year seven.
Yeah.
And he's lying there in a pool of blood, and he's very, very much dead.
Oh, no.
And Jimmy, everyone obviously is really, really upset. Mm. They go, oh God. And Miss Jones just goes, right, children, you all need to go home immediately. Like, it's time for you to go home.
Neil's dead.
Like, that's it. And obviously, parents can pick everyone up.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Jimmy's still holding on to his little recorder.
Right.
And they go home. I mean, obviously, I'm glossing over what is a very traumatic event.
Okay, yeah, of course.
I mean, they all go home eventually.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's dad's come to pick up. And Jimmy's dad, he doesn't see his dad very often, so it's really nice for him to come pick him up.
Oh, okay.
Really good chat with him. It's like, oh, son, look, you know, you need to understand, like, it's really horrible thing that happened. It doesn't happen often. And Jimmy, like, he seems okay. He's like, okay, I know, Dad, like, it was a really weird thing, but... You know, I'm all right.
He understands the ins and outs.
And obviously school's closed the next day, so he stays at home, his dad. Next morning, Jimmy wakes up. He has an okay night's sleep. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course he is.
And he goes out to breakfast. Breakfast. Lovely breakfast. The family never really has that. Oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, that's really good.
And on the radio, they're saying, oh, and remember, it's Halloween today, folks. You know, after your Halloween themed dinner yesterday.
Today's real Halloween.
Today's real Halloween.
Of course.
Watch out. Yeah,
watch out.
And anyway, and eventually, Jimmy has a good day. What is he called, Jimmy?
Jimmy. Jimmy Richards. Name?
No, that was someone else. Anyway, so then called Jimmy, and he picks up the recorder and he practices some more. And as he's an avid student, he plays it and he starts playing.
I like how you're actually doing the correct fingering.
It's Stairway to Heaven, Paddy. It's the...
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I was...
And...
Oh, okay.
And he plays that, and his mum comes in and goes, Jimmy, that's amazing. How did you learn that in one day?
Beautiful.
Just at that moment, There's
scream.
Almost...
Shit.
He doesn't know what it is. Mum goes, Jimmy.
Clown.
Jimmy, stay here, stay here.
Is it a clown?
And he runs to the kitchen, and it's Dad.
Oh, no.
Dad is dead.
Dad
is dead.
Dad doesn't scream as
little
loud
dog
as the last
doesn't,
person
doesn't
scream.
He went down outside. The dog's there, and the dog is all up in his haunches, and he's got blood in his teeth. And he's got tatters of clothing coming down, hanging from his mouth, and his eyes are glowing red. Jimmy's mum's just standing out. Jimmy, what's going on? Jimmy's like, I don't know. Mum, what's going on? What's happened to Dad? And the dog launches at Jimmy's mum, kills her as well.
Right.
Not going to go into the detail.
Jimmy's mum's dead.
Jimmy's gone. Jimmy stares the dog straight in the eyes, doesn't know what to do. And you think it's easy. He pulls out the recorder.
I think it has
plays,
something to do with the recorder.
Plays a couple of notes.
Yeah.
Dog explodes.
Dog dead.
Dog explodes.
Fuck.
Jimmy is an orphan, no dog, and a mate of his school dies. So he thinks, well, I don't know what to do. You know, a lot of inner turmoil. I'm going to skip over here.
Yeah, of course.
He goes back to school. He's
right.
The only person who knows what this, you know, what's going on. I think
Mrs. Jones.
Do. Miss Jones. Go see Miss Jones. And he goes into Miss Jones's.
Jim!
No!
And Mrs. Jones!
Don't take over the story of Engine Room Phil!
She got
no.
a thing!
No! Atmosphere, man.
Sorry.
And they.
Ooh.
And they They go back into.
Sorry, doing sound effects. Okay, so he's in school.
Goes into the music room and goes, Mrs. Jones, are you in? And yeah, obviously, school's deserted because a kid died there.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course, Mrs. Jones is there. And he opens the door.
Nice.
And Mrs. Jones is sitting there staring at him. She's wearing. She's wearing.
No!
She's wearing a beautiful white robe.
Oh, no.
And she's got this wide eye. She doesn't look like she's blinking much. Hasn't slept in a couple of days.
There's a lady who knows.
Glisten. And she goes, Jimmy, you came back. And Jimmy's going, yeah, what, I'm sat my whole family dead. She goes, did you play it? And he goes, yeah, the recorder. And she goes, yes, you played it, didn't you, Jimmy? You played it for your family. And Jimmy's going, miss, I really don't know what's going on. She goes, that is the recorder of death. And Jimmy goes, what are you talking about, Miss Jones?
Why
the recorder, whenever its sound is so hauntingly beautiful that whoever hears it dies. And she goes, all your little classmates
died.
And she goes,
but she
heard
it.
Because she, yeah, but she goes, I know, because I.
She built it.
I built this recorder from the bones of my husband.
Of a dinosaur.
Of my husband.
Okay.
I carved it, and I poured his blood into it, and I did lots of other weird shit.
Oh,
and
God.
I made this, Jimmy. Do you know why? Because it takes them to heaven. It takes them all to heaven. Up the stairs. Stairs to
the
heaven.
The stairway.
The stairway, if you will. And Jimmy knows that this woman, she thinks that, you know, she thinks this is a beautiful thing. She knows that. She thinks all the glitters is gold.
Right.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven with the woodwind section organised by Jimmy Page. And Jimmy clocks all this, and he knows what he has to do.
Oh, no.
Play one last song.
Oh.
Straight at Miss Jones, who plays...
One of their earlier songs.
He plays...
Tangerine.
He plays Black Dog.
Should play that to dog.
Uh-oh, look what comes. It's the undead dog. He rips him with and he just murders Miss Jones really quickly, rips out her throat, white dress. Ah, Jimmy, at last I can be free. And she dissipates into a cloud of black smoke.
Right.
And then that all happens. Jimmy is freaked out of his nut. And then,
oh, no.
And then the recorder says, Jimmy, it's me, other Jimmy. My name is
A
Jimmy
Link to the Past.
I was married to Miss Jones until she held my soul in this tiny flute. Let's gloss over the fact that
Jimmy Page
is still alive. Thank you for setting me free, but I'm afraid, Jimmy, your task isn't finished.
Oh, no.
And Jimmy goes, what? What's wrong? He goes, goodbye, Jimmy. Thank you for everything, for setting me free. And the recorder,
you know,
which
play.
Is actually...
Lead
the
guitar.
No, sorry. And the recorder... floats in a mysterious light in front of Jimmy's. And the recorder turns, so the mouthpiece is facing Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Completely on his own accord. Jimmy goes, what's going on? He notices now the mouthpiece is an awful lot sharper than it needs to be.
Oh, fuck.
And the recorder springs into Jimmy's chest. Oh, Jimmy's... Ah, he feels this light shines incredibly brightly, and Jimmy feels his body changing and changing and changing, and a beautiful mane of long grey hair sprouts forth from his head, and a little lovely cultivated beard, and he's wearing a swanky jacket, and a lovely
and he's old, Robert Plant
and it's Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page is clean shaven. Never mind. Oh,
shush. How do you know?
I met him.
Yeah, but he's not always clean shaven. And it sounds like it's Jimmy Page back from the dead, which no one knew he was. And the moral of the story is, recorders are shit, don't bother.
That has to be one of the most fantastic stories I've ever heard.
That was so good. Did you enjoy it?
That was brilliant.
Oh, I'm a bit tired.
I'm not surprised.
I think you need to take my mind off it, Pads. Have you got another story, a nicer one? Doesn't involve long dead members of Led
Zeppelin. Have I got a tale for you, my friend?
I don't know. I'm asking
you.
A
tale of two cities.
Oh. And one throne sat an ugly queen, on the other a handsome queen, and Charles Dickens. The end.
Right. Okay. Look, so my story is called Massacre Spa.
Okay.
Or is Massa Spa.
Is it a foot spa?
All right. Here we go. So, one day in downtown Enfield. It's the only place I can think of.
It's a suburb, North London, or Tottenham fans.
Someone opened a little spa.
Oh.
Oh, it was
when you say spa, what do you mean?
Little spa, right. Okay. It's a nice spa. It's like where you'd go away. A spa. You know like where you'd go for treatment.
I thought you meant the corner shop.
No!
All right, okay.
That would be a shit store. Oh, it'd be a really good one. No, mine's about the therapy.
Okay, what have they got there? What kind of treatments?
No, that's the thing. They've got, you know, massages, yeah. Pedicures, yeah. Saunas, you know.
What about a birch room? What about a Scandinavian birch room?
Yeah, they've got...
You whack each other with birch.
Birch treatment. Great. You know, they've got all of that. It opens up and it has...
Bit expensive, though.
It's a little expensive, but like they have a little hotel attached to it. Where people, it's like a holiday getaway for people who are too busy to leave London in Enfield, of course. So basically, like, and there's this guy, right? And his name is
Gregory
Charlie
Gregson.
Gregson Shepherdsworth.
God,
and he's he's double barrel.
You're not going to remember that,
Charlie Gregory Shepherdsworth. And he's right, and he lives near Enfield, surprisingly. Yeah. And he works really hard. He works in this, he has like one of those office jobs that is just, I say that, it's like one of those, he has one of that.
You know, an office if it's okay, in the face.
He works in the
it's
public,
important. This
the
is,
public
know,
relations
this is
department
exposition,
of he for a glass factory,
right?
Yeah, and he builds glasses for right. He doesn't. He does the PR,
yeah.
Which there isn't a lot of in glass. Anyway, so he's stressed. He's knackered, and his wife left, and he's and kids,
his wife left.
Kids dead, like gone. And dog dead. Like, I mean, like, everything. This isn't the same guy, by the way. It's Jimmy. Oh, it's Jimmy in later life. But no, too complicated. Anyway, so John Jeffries is, him. He decides, that's it. I have to take a holiday. I'm going to take 2 days off, and I'm going to go somewhere for a night. And just then, there's a little under the door, a little rub of paper on stone.
Oh.
And this little flyer comes under the door. And,
Hey, why you fancy a bit of spa?
Yeah.
Come down to this bar, get this spa.
And it says, tired? Need a rest? Need a getaway, John? Weird, eh? Like, yeah. It's
first name basis. Yeah, first name basis. Changed three times.
Yeah. Need to get away. Comes with Grand Spa opening. You know, and the spa's called Grand Spa. Yeah. Grand opening for Grand Spa. And and it says, come on down. Why not? Yeah. And he looks at it and he goes, that's weird. That's convenient. But yeah, I burped, by the way, in the middle of that sentence. He goes, yeah, I'll go. I'm gonna go for it. I've got a half price offer because it's opening. Right. So the next day he goes to work. He's just really excited about like just leaving. And he leaves at 5 o'clock on the dot. And he goes and he's got his little bag and he goes straight to Grand Spa. Right, gets straight to Enfield. 15 minutes tops.
Easy.
You know, easy, not a problem. And he gets there and he sees like there's always quite like Enfield. There's quite a few dilapidated buildings around us and stuff. But in the middle, this big like brand shining new white building, gold writing, Grand Spa, and it's got these like fake pillars outside.
Nice Doric.
Yeah, columns. Exactly. And you know, and like glass doors and all just brilliant, really well lit as well. You know. And
what a fountain!
And he feels a little gust of wind behind him, as if he's drawn to it.
And the wind comes.
And the wind and the winds came. No, and he turns towards it. And he gets up to the door. The door opens on its own. You know, as do most doors.
Automatic.
Now. But is it automatic?
Yes.
That's the question.
Yes.
Could be. Probably not though. Anyway,
I don't think you question it.
Yeah. So yeah, he doesn't think anything of it. Door opens and he goes in. It's a little desk. And one man stood behind it. He's got a little red waistcoat. He's very short. Very short, like he's standing on like 11 boxes, right, to be this height.
Okay.
But you know, he doesn't think anything on his go. And he goes, do you have a reservation, sir? And he goes, no, I got this flyer. He goes, John, we have your room ready for you upstairs. Why don't you go and relax and we'll start, we'll bring up your itinerary.
That's good
of
service,
treatments.
Isn't it?
Right. Yeah, and it's really nice job, thanks. You know, he gets given the key to room one, right? Room one, brilliant.
It's brilliant, first room.
So he goes, you know, he gets in the lift. Lift is fine. Goes into room one, really nice door, really nice room. Room one, yeah, en suite.
Lovely.
Fucking hell. And he sat there, little mint on his pillow, whatever, you know, that kind of shit.
I reckon he can stay at the spa as well.
Yeah, he's staying there overnight. It's an overnight, it's like a weekend getaway.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, anyway, so he goes there and he like, hands all his stuff down. And then, you know, about 15 minutes
Wardrobe eats him.
Nah, not yet. Yeah. I mean, no. About 15 minutes later, little knock at the door, a little hand comes around. And goes, your itinerary, sir. And he goes, thanks. Takes it. Hand's gone. Door's closed. Oh, okay. That was odd. Anyway, and he looks at it. And he's looking at all the treatments he's going to get. He's going to get massages. He's going to get steam room. And all this kind
he's going to get bum fun.
Right. Okay. So he goes into the sauna. He sits down, he takes off his clothes or whatever, and he sits in the sauna. It's fucking lovely.
He's not put off by the fact there's no one else here.
No one else at the spa. And no. He thinks, this is great. You know, he sat there on his own, and, you know, it's really warm.
My wife's left me, my children
all
died.
All this kind of stuff. Yeah. And he's in the sauna, and he's there for about half an hour. He's having a lovely time. He's like, it's really strange that no one else is here. And then down by his feet, he notices a pair of glasses down there. Oh, and... And over there, there's a pair of swimming trunks on the floor. And over there, there's a towel and all this kind of thing. And he's like, this is strange.
I'm going to use a condom.
Yeah, and there's, you know, and there's, like, dead bees everywhere. Dead bees. Why not? Dead bees. And, that's a bit odd. You know, maybe they've left them. I'll take them to reception.
The bees.
Goes up to the door. Yeah, all the bees. Takes all the bees. Goes up to the door, right, and he gets up to the door and he tries to open it. Door doesn't open. The sauna door. Sauna door's not opening. Okay. And he goes,
worrying.
Oh, that's worrying, like that. And he looks around for a little intercom, and, hello, you know, all that kind of thing. It's anything like that. Door's not opening for shit, mate. Door's not opening for shit, and it's getting very warm in this sauna. Suddenly getting
everyone
very,
knows what
very
happens
warm.
When you get warm.
Yeah, and it's starting, he's sweltering heat, and he can't out, and he's panicking, and he's, you know, he's banging on the door, and he's going, let me out of the sauna, right? And it's not happening, right? And he decides, that's it. I have to break down the door. I have to do something. And he starts kicking against the door and all this kind of thing. And finally, it slams open. And he bursts out of the steam room, right? Yeah. Into the corridor. And he's like, God, that was weird. And I'm going to go down to reception right now. Let them know there's a problem with the door. Like, there's a load of lost property and stuff like that. And he walks down the corridor to the reception. And where the stairs... Aren't there anymore, and the lift isn't there anymore, and he's like, that's strange. I swear this is the way I came. He's looking around, and he looks back, and there's no longer. He can't see where he came out of. He can't see the door to the sauna or anything like that. So this is weird. Anyway, he knocks on the door, and he's just like, hello, sorry, I've got a bit lost or whatever. He goes in, Yeah, and there's it's massage room. Always massage tables, right? There's always people, and they're lying on the tables, and, and there's this guy who's kind of going in between them, and he's kind of like, they're obviously
rolling
short staffed.
The buttocks.
Yeah, rolling the buttocks, and you know, kneading the flesh, and you know, and he's like, they're obviously short staffed. The same guy as at reception, but and he's like, oh, okay, like it's one of those like multi massage rooms where you give people time to let their skin rest or whatever in between bits. That is true. You do that in some massages, anyway. And he goes, oh, John, would you like a massage? Why don't you take a seat or whatever, and get onto the bench and all this kind of thing. And he goes, oh, that'd be lovely, that'd be really lovely. So he gets up on the little thing, he puts his head through the little hole, and is that soothing music on the background that's all the ooh ooh. And there's pan pipes and bullshit flutes or whatever. And it's really nice. And there's birds apparently, and he's having a really really nice time. He's massaging him and all this kind of stuff, and it feels really good. And every now and then he's given a little break where he goes and massages someone else, and then he comes back and he's massaging him again, and it's slightly too hard this time. He's like, "Oh, that's a bit," and he goes, "Yes, you're very tender. Yes, you're very. Your flesh is very hard. You've got lots of knots." And goes, okay, well, I guess, you know. And he puts up with it. He lets him knead. Goes off for a couple more minutes. Comes back. Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, he goes off for a couple of minutes. And you know, finally comes back to John. And then he's pushing really fucking hard now. He's really hurting him. And he's like, sorry, I can't. I don't know what time of man this is. We've got to stop. But the guy isn't stopping. And he's really fucking going for it with like his knuckles and stuff like that. John goes, stop it. And he sits up. And he looks around and he's like, you can't do that. That's far too hard. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go into a different room and just relax somewhere for a bit because I didn't actually find that very very therapeutic. and then massage guy goes and receptionist guy goes, oh, but you can't leave. Your treatment isn't done. And he goes, what do you mean? And he goes, your breathing's very irregular. And he goes, what do you mean my breathing's very irregular? Oh, well, I was stuck in the sauna. You've got to sort that out for a start. And he goes, no, by that I mean. You're still breathing, right? Yeah, yeah. Mental. That guy's mental, right? And then he John goes, what? And he looks around and he notices all the other people on the massage benches aren't moving, right?
Oh.
Right. What this guy's doing, right, is meat farm.
Is that how
happy
is ending?
No. Right, okay. Meat farm. Right. Guys, meat farm. Why is he massaging them? Remember those Japanese cows?
Tenderized.
Massaged meat.
Tenderized.
Yeah. And they're obviously.
Does he get like a little hammer that's got a little.
Yeah, exactly. And he's tenderizing all of them. And he's like, these guys are all dead.
Uh-oh.
And all this kind of thing. And he goes, oh my God. And the guy and receptionist man pulls out this sort of sickle thing.
Nice.
And he goes, won't you join me for some food before you die? And he starts cutting up one of the bodies, and it's really good meat or whatever.
It is good.
He's worked hard on them. And John goes, oh my God. And John,
it's cured
and
by the steam.
He drops everything, and like, he runs out. John's naked now, by the way, because of course he's
great.
Like that, his towel's come off. Or
Big Willie?
And, oh, John. And busts out of the door, and there's now this corridor. The corridor's changed. The corridor's darker somehow, like grey walls and yellowed walls and all this kind of thing. It looks older. All this kind of thing. And he's running down, and he's like, fuck, and he can't find the stairs, can't find the lift. He's not going to get in the lift. That's a fucking stupid idea, isn't it?
So like, the knives.
So that's the thing. So he bursts into the next room, and it's a pool. And there are loads of people in there. And they're all swimming, they're all live for a start. And the door just closes behind him. And he's looking around, there's about 60 or 70 people in here. So like an amazing pool. Because this when he goes, someone has to help me, and this person goes, no, God, don't worry about it. You know, like, come on, have a swim. Like, you're obviously really tense and all this kind of thing. And he's like, no, you need to, there's a killer. There's all this kind of shh, and then, you know, and they kind of like gently sort of jump him into the pool. And he's like, oh, I really don't have time, you know, and he's swimming around. And it's very soothing in the pool. And he's like, oh, this is actually, I could do a bit of breaststroke. He starts doing, what are they called? Lengths. He starts doing lengths of the pool, doing breaststroke. Oh, backstroke. Oh, the butterfly. He's swimming, and everyone's really happy in the pool. And everything just starts to melt away in his head and all this kind of thing. And he's thinking, this is brilliant. I can't even remember why I came in here. This is just excellent. Like, I can't remember anything like that. And everyone's really happy, and they're all a little bit too happy.
A little bit weird.
Right. And then he goes, no, I've got... I need to get out of this pool. There's a reason I need to get out of this pool. And he gets to the edge of the pool, and like, you know, it's the steps have been taken away, and they're like, no, just stay in the pool with us, all this kind of thing. And he goes, no, this is rot. And he starts climbing out of the pool. And as he gets out of the water, he's like, oh, I just sweat. I need to leave for some reason. So he picks up a towel from the side of the thing, and everyone's like, no, back in the pool, man. They're all stoned, apparently. Come on!
Hey!
Get in the pool, man! He says, no, I need to get dry, and I need to go, because there's something I've forgotten. He starts drying himself and all this kind of thing. And then as he's drying himself, he suddenly comes to realize, he's like, fuck, hang on, what the fuck was that? I meant to, there's a murderer in here, and all this kind of stuff. And he goes, what am I doing? I'm trying myself. And he looks down, right? And he's starting to disappear. Where he's been drying himself, it's as if he's slowly fading.
Yeah.
Right, and he drops the towel, and like he's like patchwork man. Like, the towel's kind of stripping away, and they're all coming at him. They come out of the pool, like, why don't you get dry, John? And they've all got towels, right? And they're all trying to drag, and they're toweling him, and he's starting to disappear, and it's fucking ridiculous and all this kind of thing. And he's screaming, and he's running away, and they're chasing him with their towels, but they're all high, so they're not going very fast. He gets out of pool room, right? But not into a corridor, he's straight into steam room. Steam room, door shuts, in the steam room. And he can't see anything in the steam room, right? And he's like, God, I don't know what's going on. And then out of the steam comes receptionist, tenderized massage, tiny red waistcoat man, still stood on boxes for some reason.
Attached to his
feet. He's a head height, and he sees him, and his eyes are sort of glazed over, and he goes, going somewhere, John? His voice is now that, by the way.
Something would happen to you.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be a... And John, he screams, but the guy holds him like that, and he grabs his arms, and he goes, you're going to disappear, John. And he notices the steam. Steam's not water vapour. Steam room's above the sauna. All those people in the sauna...
Oh, big sauna stew!
They fucking melted or whatever, evaporated up into the steam room.
Your science is a bit funny, but that's great.
No, it's great, mate. And John's starting to go with him. He can see where he's starting to fade. It's now starting to eat into him, and he's fading more and more and more and more, right? Like, and then suddenly... He just leaps backwards and he makes it out of the door, and he's back in the reception, but it's all like it's all crumbled, and it's all like it's horrendous. It's as if this place has been, you know, like derelict for years, right? And he runs out of the front doors and he's back in Enfield.
With big holes in him.
No, and he's wearing all his clothes, right? And it's 5 o'clock when he left work. And And he looks behind him, and there's just another one of the dilapidated buildings.
Whoa.
Right? And then he can't, like, what the fuck? And then this little guy walks up to him.
On boxes.
Right. Tiny little man, okay? Not on, well, he's sort of on boxes. Yeah, he's on boxes. Why not? He comes up, tiny little man. He's wearing like a sort of, he looks quite chirpy, and he's wearing a little sort of blue vest. And it says Save Our City on it. Comes over, he's got a little clipboard and all this kind of thing, right? He comes over to John and he goes, sorry, do you mind if I have a minute of your time? Are you in a rush? John looks, he's looking, no, I suppose I'm not. And he goes, I just wonder if you could sign a petition. Basically, as you can see, this area's in a sort of state of disrepair. And we're trying to get, basically this building used to, I mean, it's got a bad history. It used to be a spa. We're trying to get it opened, reopened and refurbished. And we're going to have a grand opening, and like we just need enough people to sign it. And then the little man just smiles, and there's a glint in his eye, and John dies.
His name was Pablo, more Spanish spider. He wore a pair of espadrilles and drank cider.
Well, that was quite something, wasn't
it? Yeah, past time. Still a bit stormy, though.
Bit of storytelling.
We're gonna stormy tale. We're gonna go to bed. I think.
I think so. We got to barricade ourselves up and hope we see it through till morning.
Hope the swans don't come.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you've enjoyed this this Hurricane Halloween special.
What should we call it? It's a hurricane. Hurricast is quite good. We
Hurricast
because it's the hurricane cast. But there's also Halloween.
Hurricane. Hurricasterween.
Hurricasterween. That's not labour at all.
Hurricasterween. Oh, maybe we should do this every year. Hope there's a storm every year.
Hurricasterween.
That'd be brilliant. Hurricasterween. I'm actually, yeah, we should actually. Anyway, that's really good.
Why don't you, listeners, you know, get in touch with Patterson, because he'll be flopping around in the air somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
At some point.
Yeah, who knows?
Tell him. You see, if you tell him, from us,
yeah.
Say, how are you? Yeah. And also tell him, you know, if you were going to facing, you know, storm-led death tomorrow...
Yeah, if you were facing
yeah.
absolute destruction...
What would, you know, would be the last thing you had to do, you know? Or, well, yeah. I had to do that shopping. Or, the one thing you'd regret not doing. And don't say...
Sex all the people.
Sex all the people. Ask that girl out. Tell my dog I love him.
Yeah,
like, good stuff. Yeah,
come on, the last thing you'd fucking do, and also what your last words would be, what you'd want embedded into time. He died licking an egg. All he said was,
"I love eggs.
I love these eggs."
That'd be you. Wearing if you could plan your death, that's exactly
wearing
what
his tiny hat, signing a petition, maybe. Call back. It was a lovely Halloween-y. It was a callback.
Well done.
I hope you enjoyed that. But yeah, as always, yep, yeah, you can do it to @podshambles on Twitter.
podshambles@gmail.com. Also,
thank you for supporting live
Tottenham
comedy. Always say that at the end of shows. It's like, hey guys, thanks for supporting live comedy.
Thanks for supporting Tottenham. Why say thanks for supporting Tottenham?
Thanks for supporting
Tottenham.
You love Tottenham. Well, thank you, and have a spooky storm.
No, Halloween.
Goodbye.
Halloween.
Hurricasterween.
Check the phone. 1 2 1 2. Check the phone.
1 2 1 2.
Hello,
check
phone.
Hello, phone.
This is the speed police. We have noticed you have been going too fast.
Too fast.
Too furious.
So you're checking your phone. I'm taking off my shoes.
Yeah. I'm seeing if I've got any tickets for the National.
Oh, right. Did you apply for tickets?
I spoke to a friend.
Lovely.
He might have some.
I'm taking my shoes off, so I've got my,
Please don't put your stinky toes away.
We've got to get my pod feet out. Otherwise, the episode won't work. Oh, this is soundcheck. So, like, sometimes... Oh, there's car horn.
Ooh.
Sometimes...
Meep!
Meep!
Option car beep!
So, sometimes we might make points that are a bit more serious. Sometimes you might gargle. Oh, you've got water all over the screen.
You're so sorry.
You're such a fella. Ah, sometimes I'll accuse you of things.
Yes.
Oh, you're wiping the screen with your... Oh, God, look at this.
Oh, shut up!
This is just awful, isn't it?
And begin.
It's having a drag, and I don't want it to
sound... And begin.
Like I'm smoking.
And begin. And begin.
And Berlin.
West...
Amber Tamblin.
West Berlin.
Come on in.
Slippery thin.
Tamarind.
Shut up.
Mandarin.
Right, I've had enough of you.
Okay, fine.